Welcome to NBA Talk with Isaac Wolf. I'm your host, Isaac Wolf. It's been a while, but that's simply because there hasn't been a lot of new stuff really to talk about around the NBA at this time of year. But let's start off with some signings that happened. Svi Mykhailiuk signed a two-year deal with the Raptors. He's a good shooter. The Bulls got Stanley Johnson. The Cavs acquired Lauri Markkanen in a sign-and-trade with the Bulls and Blazers. The Blazers get Larry Nance Jr. The Bulls get Derek Jones Jr., a first and second-round pick. Taco Fall is back in the league after some thought his days were over after a short stint with the Celtics. However, he has agreed to a one-year deal with the Cavs. I'm pretty sure it's non-guaranteed, so we'll probably end up seeing him on the Cleveland Charge G League roster. The Bulls also signed Alize Johnson to a two-year $3.6 million contract. That fills their final roster spot. But Johnson is more than just a final roster spot filler. He's very active. He's a very productive player. He's a very, very good rebounder. And he'll give you everything he's got when he gets minutes. In one of their games against the Pacers this year where he got significant minutes because they decided just to bench DeAndre Jordan, and I'm pretty sure Nick Claxton was injured, he had a 20-20 game. I mean, he's capable of that. I mean, really, not every night, but in the G League, he dominates the G League every time he's down there. He's too good for the G League. So I think he is ready to contribute off the bench for Chicago, being productive in a small role this season for the Bulls. The Cavs signed Denzel Valentine, former Bulls guard, to a two-year deal. The Celtics traded Chris Dunn and Carson Edwards to Memphis for Juan Hernan Gomez, who was acquired in the deal for Patrick Beverley, who they got from the Clippers. The Lakers traded Marc Gasol back to the Grizzlies, where it all started, along with the second round pick for Wang Jalen's draft rights. Gasol, I think he should have ended his career there, but the Grizzlies waived him. Marc Gasol is expected to sign a deal with Girona. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. It's a Spain club, and Gasol is the owner of that team and has expressed interest in ending his career there. So that'd be pretty cool for him to end his career on a team that he owns, and it's in his home country. Let's talk about some other Grizzlies legends for a second. The Grizzlies are going to retire Zach Randolph and Tony Allen's jerseys. Zach Randolph will have his jersey retired against the Rockets on December 11th. Allen against the Jazz on January 28th. Very deserving. Both of these guys epitomize the grit and grind era. Randolph, in 8 seasons with the Grizzlies, averaged 16.8 points per game, 10.2 rebounds per game. He's a throwback big man. Big time back to the basket post scorer. His game expanded a little bit later in his career as the NBA was more favorable for stretch bigs. But, you know, back to the basket post up scoring was Zebo's bread and butter. And he was a very underrated defender as well. Great rebounder. Tony Allen, in 7 seasons with the Grizzlies, 9 points per game, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1.7 steals per game. The numbers, you know, they're not going to jump out at you, but that's who he is. In his prime, he was arguably the best on-ball defender in the NBA. He was crazy good. He gave Kobe Bryant trouble at times. You know, he's got Patrick Beverley-type intensity on that end of the floor. Made an all-defensive team in 6 of his 7 seasons with the Grizzlies. He missed 27 games in the one season he didn't, so he probably would have gotten 7 if he was healthy. His defense was what grit and grind was all about. Everybody in Memphis loved Tony Allen in his days there, so while you may not know much about him, it makes complete sense that the Grizzlies are retiring his number 9 jersey. He was so valuable to this franchise in their glory days, the grit and grind era. But there's a new era in Memphis now, and Ja, Jaren, and the rest of the young crew could get this team back to a perennial playoff team very, very soon. Rajon Rondo, who was acquired in the deal for Patrick Beverley. No, Rondo and Beverley came to Memphis while Memphis shipped out Eric Bledsoe. He agreed to the buyout with the Grizzlies. He's going to sign with the Lakers. So they add another 30-plus-year-old veteran. He's 35. That now gives them 7 players with at least 1 All-Star game appearance, tied for an all-time record with the 87 Celtics. Actually, that is not accurate anymore. Marc Gasol getting traded means they only have 6. But again, no shooting on this team. Leadership, yes, from Rondo. Yeah, he's a great leader. Playmaking, yes, he's a great playmaker. Leveling up in the playoffs, perhaps. Everybody called him Playoff Rondo in the bubble. But no shooting. This move isn't spectacular. It is somewhat of an upgrade, but not anything that I think changes their status in the West because they're at the top anyway. And, you know, this might sound hypocritical because last year with the Clippers, I said Rondo was the difference. I thought they were going to win the championship, but it's a different situation. They needed a point guard. They needed a vocal leader. The Lakers already have that. It's not as big of a deal this time, even though Rondo was key to the championship run in 2020. Let's talk about Ben Simmons, because he wants out of Philadelphia. He does not intend to report to training camp. This is not surprising. As far as for when he, where he ends up, I really don't know. The main options, in my opinion, I think there are three. One, in no particular order. One, Minnesota. That's been talked about a lot. They're the team most interested. They want to keep D'Lo, Edwards, and Towns together, though, so I'm not really sure what they'd give up. Patrick Beverley has advocated for the move since getting traded to Minnesota. Feels like they would be a contender with Simmons. Probably not, considering they didn't even make the playoffs last year, and Ben Simmons isn't going to take them to that much of another level. Health and depth are the problems for this team. While Anthony Edwards played the entire season last year in his rookie year, should have won rookie of the year, but Towns missed 22 games and Russell missed 30. Those two guys are the key, really. They're the point guard in the center. They need them to contribute on a nightly basis. And if they don't, their depth is so bad that no one can step up, especially if they give up pieces for Simmons, which they would have to do if they want to acquire him. Malik Beasley, Naz Reid, and a couple first rounders is like all they can offer without giving up the big three. Other than that, you have Taurean Prince, Jordan McLaughlin, Ed Davis, Jake Layman, Jaden McDaniels, Jalen Noel, Josh Okogie, Jared Vanderbilt, Nathan Knight. How many of those guys have you heard of? That's a sad bench. They need depth if they want any shot at even making the playoffs this year. If they're healthy all season, they could push for a play-in tournament appearance, but not much more because their bench might be the worst in the league. I think it is. Simmons for D'Lo would make sense for both sides, but the T-Wolves are adamant about keeping him in this deal. They like the pairing of Simmons and Russell in the backcourt. Russell can slide to the two, Edwards three, Prince or McDaniels at the four if Jaden McDaniels develops. Towns at the five. That's a great starting five, but the bench would be so bad it would hurt their ceiling this season. So honestly, if I'm Minnesota, I go look for solid players that can get you at least 10 points per game off the bench. Somebody like Alec Burks or Anthony Simons or a six-man like Jordan Clarkson would be big time. Thaddeus Young, Mason Plumlee, anyone cheap like that that can produce would be ideal for the Wolves because otherwise they will struggle this year. Their stars have a very bad track record health-wise. No one behind them can step up if they trade, you know, say Beasley and Reed for Simmons because Naz Reed fit in really nicely last year and I see potential in him if Towns goes down. But again, the other guys combined might average 10 points per game. This move may look appealing, but honestly probably wouldn't do much for this dysfunctional Timberwolves franchise right now. The Golden State Warriors are another option. He wants to play in California, apparently. The Lakers and the Clippers, we know they're not going to deal for him. The Kings backed out because of the Sixers asking price. So this leaves the Warriors, who like the idea of Simmons playing with and facilitating for the Splash Bros. And honestly, this makes a lot of sense. You get someone who's that good of a playmaker and pair him with two of the top three shooters of all time, that's a championship combination. You don't even need Ben Simmons to shoot the ball. Not to mention Draymond Green as well, the leader and heart and soul of this team. James Wiseman, a 7-foot unicorn coming back from the torn meniscus, and Andrew Wiggins, who they'd probably end up sending to Philly as part of the package for Ben. But still, the Warriors could be a championship contender if they acquire Ben Simmons. That's how much this fit makes sense and could work. Simmons doesn't have to worry about scoring at all, but when they need a drive to the cup or a paint score, he can deliver. He can let Steph and Clay, you know, do their thing on the outside. It wouldn't even be necessary to shoot jump shots for Simmons in that offense with those two guys. His role would be playmaker first, and it could be really, really scary. So the Warriors are an option. The Blazers, this is more based on personal preference if Dame wants out eventually, which could happen at some point this season, but this would benefit the Sixers clearly more than Portland, a Lillard-Simmons swap. Sixers get Lillard, and they're right with Milwaukee in Tier 2 of the Eastern Conference, borderline championship contender. Sorry, championship contender, but the Nets are a level above them. Portland with Simmons, I think, would make CJ McCollum a 30-point-per-game scorer. This could be one of the best things ever for CJ McCollum's career. He's a number one option if Damian Lillard is not his teammate. That's how good he is. He's so underrated, and he's a great scorer. And playing with, again, a playmaker like Simmons would open up so much for him. I think he could average 30 a game. His career stats, he's averaged at least 20 points per game for the last six seasons playing with Damian Lillard, who's an offensive stud himself. We know that. He averaged a career-high 23.1 points last season, and he's 29 years old. He's in his prime. I think the best thing he can do is either go somewhere else right now or have Dame leave, because he is such a good scorer. Everyone overlooks it, though. They see him as Lillard's sidekick. Some have acknowledged them as the best backcourt in the NBA in the past, and they had an argument. McCollum is half the reason why. Simmons coming to Portland, I think, would make CJ's production explode. So both sides could benefit, but again, this is only possible, as I've said a million times, if Lillard requests a trade, which he's not going to as of right now. He could, though, during the season if things don't change. The Blazers have been on the outside looking in as far as championship contenders are concerned for the past, like, 6 years. They haven't found a way to put it all together. They lost Melo. Now they'll have to, you know, they're just going to be an average playoff team in the West, like a sixth seed. So Dame getting out of there could greatly benefit him and CJ. The Cleveland Cavaliers also wish to trade for Simmons. This fit does not make sense to me. Are they going for the biggest lineup ever? They would have a 6'10 point guard. Shooting guard would be normal. It would be Colin Sexton. He's like 6'4". But then they drafted Evan Mobley, who's 7 foot. They re-signed Jared Allen to $100 million contract. He's 6'11". They added Taco Fall. They still have Kevin Love. I mean, this is just a very big team with not a lot of shooting. So Simmons to Cleveland is a bad idea. When we come back, we will talk about the Brooklyn Nets, because they made a good amount of moves while we were gone. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to NBA Talk with Isaac Wolf. I'm your host, Isaac Wolf. The Brooklyn Nets made some moves, as if they didn't already have enough talent. They signed Paul Millsap, the veteran from the Denver Nuggets. They are bringing back LaMarcus Aldridge, who has been cleared to play. LaMarcus Aldridge will come out of retirement and sign with the Nets. He passed all the necessary tests. Welcome back to the league, LaMarcus. We are glad you are healthy. They waived Alize Johnson, and then they traded DeAndre Jordan and 4 second-round picks to Detroit for Sekou Doumbouya and Jahlil Okafor. Now, the Nets waived Okafor after this trade went through, and he signed with the Hawks on a non-guaranteed deal. The Pistons waived DeAndre Jordan, and he is going to sign with the Lakers. The Lakers had to trade Marc Gasol in order to open up that room. So DeAndre Jordan is now in the Los Angeles Lakers. So their roster is near final form. It looks like this. They're starting five. Kyrie, Harden, Joe Harris, Kevin Durant, and then you got options at the center position with Blake Griffin or Nick Claxton. I don't expect Millsap or Aldridge to start because they're old by NBA standards. The bench, Patty Mills, Cam Thomas, the rookie, Bruce Brown, Paul Millsap, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Nick Claxton. That's six quality guys that you can back up the starting five with. And then the reserves are going to be like James Johnson, Sekou Doumbouya, DeAndre Bembry, and Javon Carter, with, you know, the two G League, probably two-way players looking like Dayron Sharp, the first-round pick out of North Carolina, and then Reggie Perry. So the roster is full. 15 plus two-way slash G League. You know, two-way players, that's what I expect Sharp and Perry to be. I'm interested to see how they use the abundance of big men. It was more interesting when they had DeAndre Jordan, but now, I mean, they still have a lot of options. Will they turn to the veterans right away, give them the starting center job? And if so, which one? Aldridge will probably be limited most due to health reasons. I don't expect him to start or have a large role at all. So in that case, it's Millsap versus Griffin if we're talking about the veterans. You could also go young with Nick Claxton. Claxton has size. He's 6'11 compared to Griffin 6'9, Millsap 6'7. They're both a little undersized, but with small ball NBA, that's not as much of a concern. We'll see what happens with the big men. This team, I would argue, is deeper than the Lakers. An elite starting five, three future Hall of Famers, and a big-time shooter. Now, that is the exact same as LA. Although, Brooklyn's big three is better than the Lakers' big three, in my opinion. Joe Harris, in my opinion, is a better shooter than anyone on the Lakers. The bench backcourt scoring is going to be crazy. Patty Mills is a veteran, and he can heat up quickly. We saw what he did with Australia in the Olympics and, you know, their game against Team USA in the exhibition. Cam Thomas, the best scorer in the draft, 27 points per game in the Summer League. I understand it's the Summer League, but I do think he could average 13, 14 points a game this year off the bench. You know, Patty Mills as well can get up to the 15 point per game mark. And then they're going to have occasional 20 point games, 30 point games as well. I think Cam could go off for 40 if he really wanted to when Kyrie's out. Actually, no, probably not 40. Getting a little ahead of myself, but he could have multiple 30 point games. They just have a loaded front court off the bench with options. The veterans, Millsap and Aldridge, with potentially Claxton or Griffin. So many quality bigs gives Brooklyn a lot of flexibility. Bruce Brown can do whatever you need him to do. He can play, you know, the two or the three. He's tough enough to play the four for short stints, despite being only 6'4". He's a utility option. The reserves are bench-worthy on a normal roster. Dumboya, Johnson, Carter, Bembry. But this roster is not normal. So, I mean, it's just so deep that those guys are going to be not getting much playing time. Even if the Nets aren't healthy, their bench is better than last season and should pick up some slack. So the stars missing time in the regular season shouldn't be as big of a deal as it was last year. Likely won't all three be out, but even then, they can win a few games without all three of them. In the playoffs, you want to shorten your rotation, and their short rotation could be elite come April, May, and June. This is why, if the Nets match up with the Lakers next June, I'm taking Brooklyn, because between these two teams, they have seven of the top eight active career leaders in points. LeBron, number one, of course. He's on the Lakers with 35,367 points. Number two, Melo, 27,370 points. Number three, KD, 23,883 points. Number four, James Harden, 22,045 points. Number five, Russell Westbrook, 21,857 points. Number seven, LaMarcus Aldridge, 19,951. Number eight, Dwight Howard, 19,113. Chris Paul is sixth. He's on the Suns, though, so he doesn't count. The Nets and the Lakers have seven of the top eight active career leaders in total points. This matchup is star-studded. Congratulations to the 2021 class for the Basketball Hall of Fame. Rick Alderman, former coach. Chris Bosh, NBA All-Star. Toronto Raptors, Miami Heat, NBA champion. Yolanda Griffith, WNBA legend. Lauren Jackson, another WNBA legend. Paul Pierce, the truth. Celtics legends. Bill Russell. Bill Russell is now in the Hall of Fame as a player and a head coach. That is pretty amazing. Ben Wallace, first ever undrafted player to become a Hall of Famer. He, of course, was the center on the Pistons team that won the championship in 2004. And he was one of the greatest defenders you've ever seen. Four-time Defensive Player of the Year, 2002, 2003, 2005, and 2006. Chris Webber. He averaged 20 points per game over 15 NBA seasons. Five-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA selection. Jay Wright, the coach at now Villanova. He was hot at Hofstra before, but everybody knows him because he's the Villanova head coach. One of the best programs in college basketball. Bob Dandridge, four-time NBA All-Star. Tony Kukoc from the Chicago Bulls. Played with Michael Jordan for a little bit. Val Ackerman, WNBA president from 1996 to 2005. Cotton Fitzsimmons, 21 seasons as an NBA head coach. And Howard Garfinkel, co-founder and longtime director of the five-star basketball camp. So congratulations to the members of the 2021 Hall of Fame class. Well deserved. To wrap up today, this day in NBA history. In 2011, Ron Artest changed his name legally to Meta World Peace. Happy birthday to Jazz center Udoka Azubuike and Alphonso McKinney, as well as Rasheed Wallace and legendary coach Phil Jackson. We are going to take, sadly, about a month-long break, and we will be back with the season preview. Next season is right around the corner, so I'm going to come at you with my season preview for the 2021-2022 season. It's going to be exciting. Don't miss it.